All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This episode of In the Dome is a presentation of Oodle Noodle. Have you been to this place?
Not yet. I got to go try their Kung Pao chicken. George likes his chicken spicy.
So these guys, a big hit in Edmonton, apparently. So now they're expanding to Calgary. Two locations to serve you, including 17th Avenue Southwest, as well as Beacon Hill. Apparently, Oodle Noodle brings the heat. I got to go. I got to try this.
That's what I'm saying. George likes his chicken spicy.
Try the Tokyo Glaze, the Hot Thai Box, or the Singapura. Can't even say it. It sounds so good. Plenty of options to choose from. Check out the Mega Box option. Get double the sauce, noodles, and veggies. This is making me hungry.
So you can order online for pickup and delivery on oodlenoodle.ca. And Jordan, Oodle Noodle is a great community-focused company as well. This year, in 2024, they're committed to donating 24,000 meals to the community.
How many of those meals is Jay Feaster going to eat?
He's probably already has quite. He's probably like a Gold Star member.
He comes in and they say, no, get out of here.
You've eaten all the noodles we have in the entire building. You can't have any more. So April 12th is Oodle Noodle's 19th anniversary. The week of the 8th to the 14th, they have a special going on, two Tokyo Glazes for $19 to celebrate their birthday. So go check them out. It's Oodle Noodle. You'll love it, and Oodle Noodle loves you. We're so pleased to have them on board as our first sponsor here. Enjoy the episode, guys. Enjoy the Chicago Blackhawks game, too. We'll see you on the next one in a few days.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the What a Boring Season podcast. All right, here we go. Another week goes by. Flames lose three in a row. I didn't see much of the Buffalo game last night, I'll have to be honest.
It was must-see TV. What do you mean? That was like fighting for... That's the inverse standings bowl right there.
What is this... No matter where you turn to, there's commentators and broadcasters talking about the playoff hopes still alive. The fuck is this? Since when? What is Money Puck? The chances
of being
in the
playoffs? I think it's below 1% at this point.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big game for the Flames tonight. If they want to keep their... Shut up. It's over. It's been over. Since Huberdeau started playing well, that's basically the line of demarcation. When the season ends, now Huberdeau's back, baby. So back. Scoring goals off guys' skates. He has been better, let's be honest. But it doesn't matter anymore. Who cares? We don't care about winning right now. I mean, that's a good game to lose.
These have been great games. Honestly, they've been on a little 3-game skid here. It's been perfect because they're playing okay. Wolves looked good, but they're still not picking up the points. I think it's been perfect.
I don't know, man. Have they been playing okay? I guess
they've been playing okay.
Vancouver game was, they kept it interesting. They had a nice little push at the end. It was good to see Vancouver. Like, I haven't seen them play in a while. And, fuck, are they a tenacious little group, eh?
Yeah, they're playing playoff. They're playing Rick Tocchet hockey.
Bad he's a mean guy, because we can never have a coach like that, eh?
Yeah, it's too mean.
Too mean? Let's get into, we're talking about coaches. Let's get into it. Huska. Is he getting way too much credit? I feel like he is.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we've talked about this before, and
is there some credit due? Yes. Okay. But I'm like, dude, I watched those last three games and I'm like, oh fuck, because we've been harping on this about now is the time you establish your identity moving forward. And I don't know, man. I'm not seeing much of it in the last three games. So I get it. You're out of the playoffs and you know it. So what do you have to play for? But they got to find a reason to play. They got to find something to motivate them night in, night out, because you can't sit back. I don't even care if you're out. You got to, like, I don't know. What do you think of the last three games?
Well, I think they're okay. Like I said, they've been playing okay. I think in the context, they're playing about as well as you'd expect a team who traded like 5 key players off their roster to play and who don't have much skill as it is to play, and who are playing guys like Dryden Hunt over like skilled young players like Matt Coronado.
Where's the goal scoring, man? You got 5 goals in 3 games. And like, how many power plays have you had?
Dude, we've got freaking Dryden Hunt. We've got Kevin Rooney. We've got all these guys, No Matt Coronado on the power play. Jacob Pelche is in the minors for some reason. So
he must be getting some confidence down there, right?
Yeah, he's really was lacking confidence, and now he's got to go down there and learn how to be a pro again. But I just wanted to touch on that thing you're talking about, Huska. Like, we were maybe kind of, I don't know, clamoring onto something, being like, okay, he's got Coleman playing well, he's got Kadri playing well, he's got the leaders on this team leading them in a direction that, not even a direction. These guys are leading the young players and kind of teaching them how to play night in, night out. And setting a standard of play, I think maybe is the better way to put it. It's not so much you're hating to lose or saying losing is acceptable, but there's a standard of play each and every night to play in the NHL and to play for the Calgary Flames. And you're not going to get by just coasting and being a little bitch, unless you're Huberdeau. But yeah, I think maybe we're seeing now that that's maybe was just come. I don't know. It's hard to tell when you're not in the dressing room. You don't know what's going on. I want to see the Flames setting up things for setting up into next season. And the fact he's doing things like scratching Coronado, I think that's not smart.
Well, we've seen this with almost every coach. You got your favorites and your little teacher's pet players that nobody actually really likes. Maybe throw Dryden Hunt in that category. He seems to love Dryden Hunt.
Yeah, and he's been okay, but why is he playing over Matt Coronado at this point? Especially when I think Coronado had a great game against Washington and then has been scratched consecutively for no particular reason. So I don't know. It just kind of leaves you wanting. Like, I still don't really... And I mean, again, like, they are staying in games. I think that Vancouver game, you don't mind the effort, right? Like, at least he's... Maybe we're being hypercritical because they stink. They're staying in some of these games just pretty much through effort and hard work. But at the same time, I don't know. You're not really seeing any, like, I'm not picking up on any. I think what's bothering me at the heart of this is there hasn't been much experimentation going on. there hasn't been much of anything going on other than like kind of status quo. Like, what's he doing? What's his game plan here?
Yeah, that's, it's a big question mark. And like, even the whole Markstrom thing, like, what's the obsession with Markstrom still? You're like, for all intents and purposes, you're mathematically out of it. Like, what, like Nashville's what? 15-0-3?
15-0-2 in their last 17 games.
You're not making the playoffs. So what are you doing? That's, I guess that's where I'm at. It sounds like that's where you're at too. It's just like, what are we doing right now? Like, tell us, what is the last 10 games mean? What are we trying to accomplish with this? Because you're not seeing the young guy. Like, you, typically, this is when you play the shit out of your fucking young guys. This is when Coronado's in every game. This is when he gets his NHL reps. Pelletier, Coronado. And I get it. Pelletier had his stint and didn't look great. Like, wasn't leaving a stamp on much of anything. So maybe it makes sense to send him down to the AHL. You better see these guys in the last five games of the season. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care how they've looked. Like, this is garbage time.
Well, and I think the thing that I'm, it's kind of annoying me, I don't even mind the Hunt stuff as much as I'm harping on it. Cause you know, like, he's playing hard, maybe playing for a spot next year, but I just, and I guess they have been playing Wolf, but you know, like, now is the perfect opportunity to be getting Pelche and Coronado and these guys into situations where you're seeing what you have for next year and getting them. You want to talk about confidence? Get them some confidence right now. Give them some playing time in all situations. Get Pelche. Like why isn't Pelche playing? Like, put him. You don't need to see Mangiapane and Backlund and Coleman play together anymore right now.
Exactly. What's the point? You're not trying. Yeah. You're not trying to win games. Yes, you want to work on a winning culture and like compete level wise, but yeah, that's a great point. Like, put Mangiapane with fucking Huberto or some shit. Now you fucking Huberto, Pelletier, and like whoever, you know.
Yeah, because nobody on this team has particularly very good chemistry, other than maybe you've seen some flashes from Huberto, Sharangovich, and Kuzmenko, which he broke up randomly for like a week and a half, which I didn't understand, but the one guy I just really want to see Matt Coronado play, because he plays against Washington. I think he had the best expected goals for percentage of any forward in that game. He was hovering around 60%. He had three shots. I think he had eight shot attempts. He led the team in high danger scoring chances that game. And he gets scratched. I don't get that. He played a lot too. He played like 17 minutes. He looked very good. And I had this problem with them sending Coronado down in the first place, because I know he wasn't getting the points.
When they sent him down, everybody on the team was going through a goal.
Yeah, and listen, they've handled some guys well, right? Zary and Pospisil have like forced their way onto the roster. I'm not complaining about them not giving young guys a chance, but I just think in the case of Coronado, like, they sent him down. And the team kind of started to gel a little bit. So he was here. He's been here when shit has kind of been hitting the fan a lot, right? He's been here during a lot of the shitty times during the season. And to me, if you, not even underlying numbers, you just look at what he's been doing scoring chance wise, and he's still like one of the top producers of scoring chances in all situations this team has amongst regular forwards. Puck's just not going in. So I don't mind playing the shit out of him in the AHL, but why not play the shit out of him in the NHL when you're not making the playoffs?
Have we heard an explanation from the coach?
I haven't really heard anything. And I know, you know what? Like, I think when you watch him, maybe, I think people do kind of, you tend to be like, oh, he's kind of behind the game. He's not NHL ready. But I don't know. When I watch him, I see a guy who is NHL ready.
Same thing. When I watch him, it's like, yes, maybe his skating is a quarter or a step behind.
Which has always had been a weakness for him. His skating has always been an issue.
But, like, how do you get your skating up to NHL speed? By playing at the NHL level. Like, it's going to happen. His size, you know, same thing. But he plays bigger than he is. I don't know. I think, you know, to your point, physically, he's maybe slightly behind pace, but mentally he's not. So he should be playing NHL reps. If mentally you're there, then the physical aspect is going to catch up. I don't know. Maybe they see that, and maybe that's why they want to play the shit out of him in the A.
Play him on the fucking power play. That's all I ask. It can't get any worse, can it?
Why wouldn't you? No, it still can't get any worse. And, like, I don't know. Anytime I make a comment about the power play on social media now, it's just a, no, it's not the, it's not Savard. It's players.
So. I find that a little hard to believe when you have the shot that Sharon Govich has.
You have the NHL Kuzmenko in defense.
Yeah, Uyghur has it's in the top three in goals. He's not on there. Kuzmenko scored 39 goals last year. Huberto is supposed to be this power play specialist. I don't know. I get it. I get there's not a lot of skill, but there's enough skill that it should be better than that. And to put Coronado's numbers in context real quick, like of Flames players who have played like 200 minutes, and that's not a huge, he's eighth in high danger chances for per 60 minutes. So he's top 10 in all these stats, seventh in scoring chances for per 60 minutes this season. And that's all situations. And he's second in shot attempts for. And I think that's something the Flames really need is guys who shoot the puck. It's like really only guys who shoot the puck at a high rate on the Flames are Kadri and Coronado. And maybe you throw Igor Sharangovich in there too, but a little less of a rate. But he's creating scoring chances when he's out there. And that's what he's good at. And it's going to go in eventually. And I just think if you watch his game, if you're familiar with his game, I think he is kind of playing his game. And I think he is doing it at the NHL level. And I think he should be playing a lot. And he shouldn't when he is in the lineup. I don't think he should be playing on the fourth line, even though he's been effective, I think, in limited ice time wherever he's played this year.
Your power play stinks to high hell. You can't score on it. And you have five goals in the last three games. And Coronado, what does he do well? Scores goals. And like to your point, like you're building for the future here. Get him power play reps. Put him on. You're in garbage time. Why is it so great that Markstrom's back? Why is it such a huge boost? I don't get it. I don't see what the obsession is currently with Jacob Markstrom. Like, what are we doing? Again, to this, like, what do the last 10 games mean here?
Well, again, I think
Wolves should start every fucking game.
Yeah.
Unless they're back-to-back nights. Like, if Lennard doesn't get injured, do we even see Dustin Wolf against the Sabres? I kind of have a feeling like we don't.
I hope that we would, because it would be absurd if we didn't.
But it kind of feels...
I don't disagree with you.
It kind of feels that way, and it kind of feels similar with Coronado. It's like, yo, you need this guy to score 40 goals three seasons from now. You need whatever percentage of those goals, a high percentage, to be coming off the power play. Start molding him now. Like, how does it not... It makes no sense unless they see something where it's just like, no, he's going to go back to the A and develop specifically this part of his game. I just like, and like you're saying, like the numbers, the underlyings don't even suggest he needs to be sent down. So I don't know. Maybe it's a foot speed thing. Obviously they have some sort of game plan for him, but I agree, man. Like how many games you got left?
Like 12 or 13, something like that.
Fuck, you should play at least 8 of those.
You should play all of them. You should be playing everyone, playing 15, 17, 18 minutes a night.
Right, who's on PP1 last night?
Well, you've got Huberto, Kuzmenko, Sharangovich, Mirmanov, and Kadri.
So,
I take anybody off and put Zeri on there. Like, what are we doing?
Right. like, again, what's the vision right now for the final remaining games? What's the vision for the power play? Like, it just, I guess it makes things a little more confusing and frustrating when you're losing and not scoring.
Well,
and the team is kind of right there, but they're just like, they're lacking that kind of excitement we saw.
Now that they're like legitimately out of it, I think you've seen, I don't think guys like Kadri and Coleman have like kind of like phoned it in, but you can see there's like,
yep,
they're kind of on autopilot now. Like,
there's a bit of a sag.
Yeah, there's a lull.
Yeah,
and that's natural. And I think the boost you would get is from young guys coming in wanting to earn a spot for next year, and I think that's what it should be about right now.
Do you think there is a little bit of, the opposite of a favorite with between Huska and Coronado? Like, are we reading into that too much? Do you think Huska is just like this? It's like another fucking Sam Bennett, fucking Bill Peters.
I don't know. He does, like, Huska does have his favorites for sure. And he's not necessarily the nice guy that everybody might kind of claim. Like, remember when he was the coach in Stockton, like, he rode Rasmus Anderson's ass. This is pretty public. He rode his ass pretty hard down there to the point where Rasmus was like kind of pissed about a lot of stuff.
He looks pissed now that Miramano's taking all his ice time, man.
Yeah. And I mean, I kind of would be too. But we can talk about that.
Rass looked good in the Vancouver game.
He's shooting the puck more. I find it. Here's something I find funny. They're talking about this today on the radio, and like, man, Rass is just all about getting shots on net. You know, he just needs to shoot the puck more. The coaching staff have been telling him, shoot the puck. Whenever you get the puck, shoot it. Shoot the puck. Yeah, that's what Daryl was saying for two fucking years, and everybody had it. Goddamn conniption. Why are they taking such low quality shot attempts all the time? That's not how you make offense in the NHL.
Was it Piance McGee? Shooting from outside the blue line. I don't know what they're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, just juicing up their Corsi. Now all of a sudden it's back to, yeah, just get pucks on net. Yeah, shit.
Now it's good though, because we don't have big meanie back there, so.
I don't know. I think just to wrap up what's Huska doing, I don't know. Like, I think you appreciate the fact that he hasn't let things get like embarrassingly out of control. I don't know how much of that is on him and how much is that on the veterans, but I mean, hey, he's empowering guys like Coleman and Kadri to, at least from the outside, control the room and, be the leaders that they've shown to be this year. You're not getting embarrassed every night, right? There still is like a standard level of effort. You saw that in the Vancouver game. I think maybe outside those two games against the Hurricanes and the Avalanche, where you got absolutely fucking shit canned. There hasn't been a lot of embarrassing nights for a team that's not particularly good. So, he's got them at least working. He's got them playing a brand of hockey that is really ugly for the most part. And not super fun to watch some of the time when they're not scoring and the young kids aren't rolling, but they're working. But then I think you just question, okay, where is this going? Cause that's really what you're in the long game now. So how is he going to manage that?
Every decision you make right now is for 3 years out from now. You kind of have to reverse engineer.
Yeah. You have like every time you have your plan for the summer. You have your plan for what's going to happen next season. You have your longer-term vision. I mean, a lot of that's on the GM, but given where this team is at, and I'm hoping the GM and the coach have had these conversations, the coach has to kind of be on board with not just playing every single game for, okay, we have to try and get 2 points. And you've seen Wolf a lot, which is nice and good, and I think Wolf's earned it. They're not just giving him these starts to see what he is. He's looked great. I think it's been not a sigh of relief, but it's been a good confidence booster that he has looked very good. I don't think he's looked just okay. He's been very good his last 5 starts.
How did you he faltered a bit against, was it Washington? Yeah.
And I mean, there's a lot of defensive breakdowns in that game too that are like, I don't even know, like, how many goals in that game do you put on him? Ovi fucking blasts a patented. They said that was like Ovi, how many goal? That was the 170th goalie Ovi scored on in his career. It's wild.
Yeah. And how many goalies can't stop that? Has not been able to stop that for the last 12 years.
Yeah. 800 times. I bet of his goals, at least 300 to 400 have been from that exact spot.
It's nice to see. It's funny because I guess maybe because they're out east. Like, I always liked Crosby. I've always liked Ovechkin.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm happy for them when they win the cups, right?
Cheering
for them. So when Ovi comes to town and chasing down Wayne Gretzky's all-time goal scoring records, just like when he scores, I'm kind of like, nice, even though it scores on us, right?
Anytime, Ovi. Yeah. I've cried like twice in my life about hockey. Number one's when the Flames lost, obviously, in 2004. And then the other time is when Ovi won the Cup. Like, it was just incredible.
And when Kiprusoff's number was retired, you cried. And...
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't think I cried.
I feel like a little choked up. You said you got watery-eyed.
Got a little choked up.
A little choked up, yeah. So you were actually like straight up crying when they lost in 2004?
Well, I mean, I was a kid, too, so... But yeah, obviously,
sure.
I was fucked up for. I'm still messing me up, dude.
I think I just went on a hell of a rage.
Yeah, you know. Now that I'm thinking about it, maybe it was more rage. Maybe that's where my rage started.
Just smashed a bunch of stuff. Yeah, you've needed anger management since that.
Yeah, yeah, that's where it started. Yeah, it's a good point.
So Wolf kind of gets lit up a bit. Versus Washington.
Yeah, I still think like those goals, like so many bad goals, like guys getting behind the D.
Oh, fuck. Last night, the Buffalo.
Yeah. Maybe he wants I think Strom scored the first goal. There was like a point blank shot. It's a clear, he could see it, but like it's literally like, right, it's still a high danger chance right in the slot. Not a lot of goalies are going to be stopping that if it was a good shot. So you still don't really fault him on a lot of that.
He's still adjusting, right?
Oh, he's still adjusting to guys who can shoot like they can in the NHL.
Exactly, the best shooters in the world.
Yeah, so, I mean, even over the past five games, I thought he was very good against Buffalo. Over the past five games, he stopped. His save percentage is .930. Goal saved above average is, I'm going to pull it up right now so I don't get it wrong. But he's also, I think the most telling stat is over the last five games, he's faced 30 high danger shots against. He stopped 27 of them. High danger save percentage of 90%. So pretty good.
Yeah.
I think that's huge. It's been huge.
All right, to me, that's the number one storyline.
Yeah. And it's kind of funny because it does, like you're saying with the Markstrom obsession, I'm just sitting there going like, man, it kind of looks like, man, if we should have traded Markstrom at the deadline.
It just didn't seem like the return was there. Do you think Craig shops in the summertime?
Yes, for sure.
Do you think from what you've seen from Dustin Wolf, would you give him a 1A role next year?
Well, I think...
If you could get a fucking banging return for Markstrom, I'm assuming they keep Vladar for the last year of his contract. But... Is that something that you would consider? Like, if you could get a deal for Markstrom, you pull the trigger, got it done. You hopefully you bring a young stud back, and then you actually decide, okay, we're gonna roll with Wolf and Vladar. I guess they could just do win until you're in type thing, right? But would you actually entertain the idea of Wolf as the 1A?
I would, but I think that's why I think it's so important to get him in as many as possible games and like all of them, maybe outside of a couple.
Yes, this is why I'm just like, has the coaching staff, has Conroy, has anybody told us the plan for the goaltending for the rest of the season?
Because I think that's what you want to know. You want to know, okay,
yes,
like,
we could need to know what you're doing.
Yeah, could he be a 1A?
Now that you're fucking done, it's official.
Yeah.
And looks like the players are starting to mail in a bit now. Tell us what the fucking objective is here.
And I think maybe the other thing you want to look at is maybe he plays 15 games here down the stretch and you say maybe he would need a guy like Markstrom in support. Maybe you want to look at the dynamic between him and Markstrom, see if that's a net positive. Maybe you want Markstrom to stick around after you see this. Maybe it is like a Saros Pecorine thing, Markstrom Thatcher Demko thing, where it's like, okay, he does need a mentor, but you need to know either way.
I would be okay with that if you shopped him and the return never actually really made sense.
Yeah.
I would be okay with that. But I just think that if the return's there,
totally,
then it's more valuable for you down the road.
I'm totally on the same page. Let's say if Markstrom is here next year, do you want Wolf playing 30 games? 25, 30 games? Like, it'd still be I'd still wanting to be splitting it pretty close to even.
You'd like to see Wolf get upwards of 40.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's time.
I mean, look. Who have we developed? I guess Anderson and Mangiapane. But other than that, like, we fucking have developed. We've butchered some players' development.
Yeah.
Like, Sam Bennett never, ever developed in this organization.
Well, dude, you look at, you know, and I don't know if this is what it's like for every team. I feel like probably not. But
the amount of ex-players that go on, and is that what you're going to say?
Well, yeah, and just like draft picks that aren't on the team anymore. Like, and you look at, like, even from 2017, like Valimaki, gone. Rozichka, gone. You, like, right? Like, there's been a lot of misses here. Kachuk, gone. Dubé, well, Dubé, gone. You developed a nice group of players there in, like, Shillington, Anderson, Kachuk, I guess Dubé, until the whole thing happened.
Which, you know, if that wasn't on his mind, I'm sure he probably wouldn't suck balls this season.
But. Yeah. But there have been some instances where, you know, not only have they not developed players, but they've lost players. And we just haven't seen a lot of players from the Flames draft until, like, this year.
Yes.
Right? So, like, because Connor, it's like you kind of forget, like, Zary's drafted in 2020. And I don't think he was NHL ready until this year. I didn't even think he was going to be NHL ready. He's just surprised a lot of people. But, you know,
phenomenal.
We're not really used to seeing guys kind of maybe how other teams get young players into their lineup. Right? Like, from even the 2019 draft, like, Pelche's only played 37 games in the NHL. It's not very many at all.
How many?
37.
Yeah, that's, you know,
that's 2019. That's like 6 years ago almost.
Sandwiched in with a whole bunch of injuries. So, like, I think I'm okay with him going down to find his game. And once he kind of can get on top of the AHL, then bring him up. Maybe it's for next season. But, like, yeah, I'm fine with that. But I agree with you. The Coronado should see some action here.
Yeah, and I think just for Wolf's development, like, you can't, like, yeah, obviously he's not going to be in the American League next year, but I just think you just need to know heading into the summer that, okay, if you're going to trade Markstrom because of returns there, like, I don't want them to be kind of like humming and hawing. I want it to be like they know heading into the offseason what their plan is.
Exactly.
Because then what if you're set on it and somebody comes in with a bet, you're like, okay, we're keeping Markstrom.
You have 12 games left.
And then somebody's like, we're going to give you a shit ton for Markstrom. So I would say you make up your mind over the next 3 weeks what your plan for the offseason is. And obviously you have to talk to Markstrom. Like, Conroy had an interview with Frank Cervelli, just kind of talking about the Markstrom problem. And Conroy just said, we just need to sit down and talk, see where Markstrom's at. See where what he's thinking. Because that ultimately is what it comes down to, really, because Markstrom has full control.
He also, Nelly brought it up, let's touch on it, because Craig's also been, he was also asked about the free agency market this offseason. And I know we talked about this in the last episode of how much of an appetite do you have for Craig going out and actually shopping and spending some money on something that this team needs, which is, hopefully it's a younger, older guy. If that's the case and fits into the 5-year plan, But I don't know. What do you think of that whole response? Craig basically said that they're looking at all their options, and if, you know, that's something that's definitely on the table.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of pretty, like, I was on board with most of what he was saying, right? He really didn't say anything too forthrightly or give away too much, but he pretty much said they'd be looking at a few things. Like, they have, I said last week or last time that I was just doing my math off the top of my head. I was like, hey, maybe they have like 8 or 9 million in cap space. Kind of forgot the cap was going up. So they have a lot of cap space. They have like 19 million, a little over 19 million heading into the summer. So basically what Conroy said was, if there's someone who we think can help the team, that's the right length of contract that maybe can help us for a couple years, we would be interested in that. And I think that's pretty reasonable. And I think that's what they'd be looking for. You don't want him going out pulling a Jay Feaster where he's like, oh, we're going to remember when they tried to sign Brad Richards, like, to a huge deal. It's like, what are you doing?
So what type of player do you think Craig is referring to? What type of player would you be into?
Sean Monahan.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just need to regroup here and try and get this team on the right path here.
Starts on October 6th, 2024. So excited. I think, like, yeah, I think just like maybe a short-term gap guy, like kind of how you see some of these younger teams like sign some of those older guys. I don't think you're going to be going out, you know, I hope you wouldn't.
What type of player are we talking here? Like a
If Sean Monahan wanted to come back to Calgary on a 2-year deal, that's the kind of player you'd be looking for. Somebody who has some of those intangible leadership qualities that you'd be looking for, you know, that you're not going to overpay for.
Someone like a Versteeg type player.
On a short-term deal.
When he came in, was it two seasons?
Yeah, like maybe just an older guy who...
Could you get a power play specialist? A guy that could actually... Power play specialist
would be nice.
Take the coach's job like Versteeg did and actually run the power play?
Okay, why don't we just hire Chris Versteeg next year to run the power play?
Oh my God, dude.
Can we do that?
Can we just give him a 1-year contract? I think he'd be better than anybody else that plays on the power play.
That'd be great. But I mean, I think, you know, obviously a Monahan type guys out there, I don't know what his appetite would be to sign a short-term deal, because given his injury history, he's kind of earned, I think he's probably earned a multi-year deal, but I still think you'd kind of be interested in that depending on the price point. But I think maybe you're just looking at some like low risk guys. Like you look at, and not that we're like Colorado, but like Colorado signed Jonathan Drouin to like a pretty close to league minimum deal this year. He's been awesome.
Yeah.
Maybe kind of looking at a few guys like that who are kind of like at a bit of a crossroads in their career, maybe looking for somewhere where they're going to get some playing time with some young skilled players. They could come in, maybe juice their stats for a year. Somebody you could like ship to a contender at the trade deadline or in the off season. Players like that.
1-year deal, 2-year deal. What do you like?
Well, I mean, you always kind of like a 1-year deal better.
What do you think of older veteran guys? Or do we have enough of those? Like a Claude Giroux.
I mean, I wouldn't mind it.
Like,
depending on who it is.
If you're saying we have this money, but like, again, can you explain to us what the vision is and the reasons behind it, right?
Yeah, it would have to fit into that. And I think you don't want to block young players from playing is the number one thing.
Yeah, big time.
But, you know, like I've liked places that have signed like Corey Perry, like at a league minimum or like a pretty cheap deal, you know? And I mean, if you look at the UFA market, it's not really full of a lot of guys you'd be paying top dollar anyways. Like, I think, frick, man, who's Sam Reinhardt, obviously, he's going to make an absolute shit ton. I looked at it. I Matt Duchene, like, he's older, but he's having a really good year. I don't think he's going to sign on the cheap anywhere anytime soon now, since he's had such a good year and he loves Dallas. But that would be the kind of player, maybe an older guy you consider.
Yep.
Somebody who has skill, somebody who can come in and mesh well with some of these younger players. You've already got enough old guys on long-term deals, you know? You don't need to be going out hunting for... You don't want to go out and pay, like... And I obviously Craig won't, because he didn't want to pay Toffoli. He didn't want to pay some of these guys. So I think these will be low-key ads if he does make moves, maybe on 1 or 2 or 3 year deals.
Obviously, we're both thinking the forward group. Like, do you add anything to the defense?
Well, I mean, it's freaking logjam there right now. So I'd be surprised.
What's his name? Tyson Berry's name linked to the Flames.
Yep.
Like, he's got an offensive upside. Not great defensively, and nor are we currently. So maybe that doesn't.
Hey, Bork's pretty. Comes in perfectly. He can take us from being. Yeah, like,
fits in with the group perfectly. Maybe just make the games more exciting, even the ones you lose. All or
like
time.
The worst. See, that's what is kind of bothersome about the way the Flames play right now. It's that they're terrible defensively, but they're still not like cheating for offense. You know what I mean? It's not like they're terrible defensively and really in spite of offense. It's not like the Bill Peters year where it's like they'd win 6-5. It's like now they just are really bad defensively and still have a hard time scoring goals. But, you know, I think if you want to list, I think somebody like Monahan, you know, I think Monahan's really, and just, is it just because, fuck yeah, it's just because we want to see him play for the Flames again. Are you kidding me?
Fuck it, just give us what we want. We're not fucking trying to win anything currently.
Exactly. But I think defensively, you're kind of like, you've added, who'd you add this year? You added Paul, Mirmanov, Hotuk. I think defensively, I don't know if you're looking to add much on the blue line unless somebody like Rasmus Anderson wants a trade or, you know.
Hey, maybe Sean Monahan play with me. He score 40 goals.
He's going to score 50 goals when he play with me. You have not seen nothing yet.
Hey, the new state is 60, the new 50. Hey, play with me. I sound like fucking Italian or some shit now.
Why don't you just bring in Duclair, Huberto's old buddy, juice their stats, and then trade both of them. That'd be a good move.
Seriously, and a package deal.
But like I said last time, I'm hoping the Flames don't just blow all their cap space for the sake of it and use it to take on
I don't see contracts. Craig doing that.
I don't either.
I don't see Craig doing anything that fucking we bitched about Tree Living doing.
Yeah, because you can weaponize your cap space in multiple ways. Obviously, retaining salary, for sure. Obviously, taking on bad players to get an extra assets. Or picks, and you know what? Like, so many teams are cap crunched all the time, and so many teams that are going to be wanting to make trades and get rid of guys are cap crunched.
Fucking, we saw three way deals go down. You take on some salary for what, the third or fourth?
Like, I'm thinking, was it last summer? There was a summer, like, or was it this summer where just like guys were going for fucking? Well, I mean, even look at the Toffoli trade. I mean, that's worked out, but New Jersey doesn't really have to pay a premium for Toffoli. You look at just some of these trades in the past 2 years where, like, Pittsburgh got Riley Smith for nothing because Vegas is up against the cap. You know, there are teams who are going to be dumping good players because they just make a little too much money in their salary cap structure that they just literally have to get rid of them.
Why don't you fucking, I don't know what is, if he's got no trade, but why don't you go fucking get Jamie Benn?
Yeah, like, there's things you can do, right? Like, hey, we'll take that nasty contract off your hands.
Ben in a first or whatever. Another season under his belt. You don't want him around.
Like, the Leafs, like, there's so many teams who are going to be, like, even the Oilers, like, they're going to be in tough next year, man.
Why?
Tell me. Because their freaking salary structure, they've got that Connor Brown overage that's coming in.
How much does he make? He finally scored some goals, eh? Wow, this week.
He score one or does he score two?
I think he's got two or three. He's on a rampage.
He's going to outscore Huberto by the end of the year.
Fuck, he might outscore the goaltenders. Huberto.
But just teams
he's
are
he's got 10 now. He's got 10, okay?
He's point per game in February. Yeah, great. We're 22nd in the league. Awesome.
Hey, we're actually top 10 draft lottery position as of current.
He's the ultimate. I can't be too mad at him. Like, he's the ultimate tank commander, man.
That Buffalo was a huge 4-point game for a top 10 pick.
Ginormous. That was a huge game. Buffalo looked pretty fast and good. You know, you always hear, don't be Buffalo, don't be Buffalo. Paterka looked great. Zach Benson looks like a nice little player. Tage Thompson's really good. Power and Byram and Dahlin, pretty good. I think they're going to be a pretty good team soon. But all I'm saying is, you know, you've seen this happen a lot recently where it's like, we can't fit this guy into our salary cap. He's a good player. Take him for nothing. So there are going to be players that are available who are good players who are just making too much money for their teams. And I think like Kuzmenko is like an example of that, right? And you can, those players can contribute or they can be assets at the trade deadline. But you don't have to go out and blow your wad in free agency. If there's something that makes sense and Sean Monahan wants to come home, then do it. But otherwise, cool your jets and let the young guys play and wait for some good opportunities.
Well, and like you said, like even like there's got to be a strategy, a tactic if you're Craig, of maybe you sign like a key player in free agency just for the purpose of trading away the deadline.
Yeah, 100%. Teams do like, that all the time.
We'll overpay. Come play us for a year and we'll trade to the deadline. We can retain that salary, no big deal. We're gonna spend money now to fucking trade that in for a first round pick.
Yeah, absolutely. Weaponizing cap space, like if you can get creative with it, for sure. And teams do that a lot. Like that's what I'm saying. Like sign, overpay Anthony Duclair to come play here for 40 games, juice his numbers, and then retain half his salary in a trade. There's lots of things you can do.
Miramanov looked good in the Vancouver game. He seems to be starting to make a spot for himself.
Yeah, he's a bit of an adventurer.
He's starting to grow on me just the way he likes to puck up the ice. Man, there's some defensive stuff though that's still questionable. It's just
he gets the puck behind the net against Vancouver, stands there, thinks about it, then makes like the worst possible play you could make, fires a pizza right through the slot, right to a Vancouver player. So yeah, the defensive issues, the decision-making are definitely, it's sometimes a freaking adventure.
Well, with no Darryl Sutter, who's going to teach these guys how to play defense?
Yeah, Husk is just like, you did a really good job. I'm really proud of you.
Yeah, sure. There's one thing you want back. But
that's okay. Do you want your participation ribbon today? Good job. Free cake afterwards.
Nice to see Pospisil. Nice to see Zari back in the lineup.
But I do agree. Sorry to like shit on Miramanov. I think he's proving why, you know, he could be an interesting asset.
He seems like he's got some serious offensive upside.
And he's got to listen. And I kind of joke, Rasmus Anderson's mad and he sucked this year. And, you know, I was sitting there watching Miramanov on the power play. And even when the goalie was pulled, thinking like, okay, that's got to be pissing Ras off that Miramanov's taking all of his ice time. But I mean, the thing that I like that he's got a howitzer of a shot and he can move the puck nicely. So I actually don't mind giving him a look on the first power play.
Totally. Boss was still mucking it up against the... Ooh, he went after Quinn Hughes, didn't he?
Right, he was going after a lot of guys. Zary got popped by Hronek and nobody did anything, which was kind of annoying.
Coleman kind of got in his face a bit, but no fight. I think Coleman might be putting the gloves away for the rest of the season now.
Yeah, he doesn't want to get hurt. He's probably probably booked his Cancun trip already.
What does the future hold for Mangiapane and Anderson? I mean, The more I watch Mangiapane, the more frustrated I get, man. Could you fucking just score? Yeah, you expect the goals are great, bro, but could you put it in?
Well, I think that's probably what's driving a lot of people nuts is that I don't even know, like, because he didn't really sign like a huge deal. He got a nice payday, decent, right? He didn't like cash in like Johnny Gaudreau or Jonathan Huberto and then suck. But with
there's
the bump,
no World Cup, right? This offseason.
Well, yeah, there is, and the Flames will be in the playoffs. You should go play for it.
So there is one.
Oh yeah, there's always one.
Yeah, he should go back. I thought yeah. I read somewhere there's not one this year.
Oh really? Oh, I didn't see that.
Well,
he should go. But I think that's what's. I think that's, and for me, like, I remember when he had that finally, because I'd been talking about it for years, right? Like, I'd love this guy. I was like, okay, this guy's fucking awesome. You know, he was great on the fourth line in 2018, 2019. He was great the next year. He's great when he's playing with Chucky and Backlund. I've always loved the guy. And then I'm like, okay, just wait. He's going to break out. Like, he's going to just wait. And then he had that breakout season in 2021.
Yeah, we had to call fucking Brett Chesley.
Yeah, we had... We literally, like...
It's the greatest thing ever. Fucking
we literally got the Flames Twitter on board with roasting some guy who made fun of Mangiapane in the summer. It was awesome.
Unreal.
But...
Highlight of his career, apparently.
Yeah, like, that's kind of where... And like, maybe that kind of, like, unfairly shot him into a different stratosphere, but he's, like, stagnated, and he's still that player he was back in, like, 2019, 2020, right? Where he's creating a lot of scoring chances.
Maybe he just needs to play on a great fourth line.
So it is kind of disappointing because I remember after that season, I was like, hey, the next 3 years, this guy's going to be an elite, like, Selke caliber type player. And he's not even been anywhere close to that. He's just been a good, solid middle six guy, which there's nothing wrong with that, but it's just disappointing and frustrating for a lot of people.
You said to me that you wouldn't be surprised if he gets moved in the summer. Do you want to elaborate on that?
Yeah, like, I don't think that's out of the realm of possibilities. He'll be entering the final year of his deal. You know, I think it's probably fair to say he hasn't been super pleased with his usage this year. You know, not much power play time, right? I think if you probably asked him straight up, he'd say he'd be very open to a change of scenery with how things are going. And given it's going to be a contract year for him and probably his last chance to really cash in on a big NHL deal. Does he really want to play on a struggling Flames team where he's not seeing much power play time? I don't know.
Grinding it out with Backlund
every night. It's like, you know,
fighting for tooth and nail just to get a scoring chance and miss the net every fucking time.
Oh, Mangiapane.
All three of them.
The boards are really lively in the Saddle Dome. You can always hear when he takes that shot 20 feet over the net. But, you know, like, it might make sense for both player and team if there was a deal to be made.
What's the length on the Anderson contract?
So he's got two more years after this.
Okay.
And you know what? The way most people feel about Mangiapane, I've kind of always felt about Anderson. He's always kind of been a bit of a frustrating player to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he goes on stretches where he's fucking amazing, lights out, with some stretches he's ass.
And he kind of follows a similar, like, you know, like, remember back when him and Mangiapane kind of came up together and they were drafted in the same year and they're buddies and they played in Stockton together. But they both kind of come up on a part-time, full-time basis in 2018, 2019, and both really impressed everybody. And Rasmus was really good for those first couple years he was here. But then, if you remember in the bubble season, he's fucking terrible.
Yep.
Like, he was so bad. I remember because they were kind of like trying to push him up into a higher end of the rotation. He was playing top line or top unit, top D pairing with Gio. And do you remember like the first 20 games that season? Like, him and Gio were a fucking mess. It was so bad. We were watching Hanifin and Tanev being like, that's the top defense pairing because Gio and Anderson are brutal. So he has had kind of these like dips and valleys where it's been like, yeah, this guy's going to be the next number one defenseman heir apparent to Gio. And then it's like, holy shit, he was so bad that entire season. And kind of seeing that kind of like low point again this year. Like, he's just been, it's the worst. It's easily the worst he's been since the bubble.
Do you have an explanation for it?
I don't know. You know what? I was thinking about this today. Like, fuck, dude. Like, he seems to struggle when his role is a little bit elevated, with maybe the asterisk of the 21-22 season when the team was just so good. System-wise, player-wise, like, the team was just an absolute juggernaut that year, and everybody was awesome. And him and Hanifin were pretty much the top pairing. I haven't loved him with his defense partners this year. And obviously, I think he's probably like, we're judging this defense core when they've lost Hanifin, Tanev, and Zadorov, right? So it's a skeleton crew.
Yeah.
Tim and Uyghur trying to hold the fort down. And the team is really poor defensively this year. And I think a lot of that falls on the coaching staff. But the other thing that's kind of like stood out, I think, to a lot of people is that not only has his like kind of on ice performance been poor, but like that kind of like edge in his game hasn't really been, it's been non-existent.
He seems like, if you look back at his career with the Flames, it seems like he's always done best in a supporting role.
Yeah.
Whenever they've kind of leaned on him to do anything more than that, it's kind of winning. Like this year, you posted this, I think a week ago. His 5-on-5 key metric rankings amongst the,
oh, yeah,
the 10 Flames defensemen who have played 200 plus minutes this season. He's under 50% shot attempts for, sixth, ranked sixth in team defenseman for shot attempts for. This is supposed to be like your fucking, I mean, maybe outside of Uyghur now, but this is supposed to be one of your more offensive minded D-men. You got him, you're just quarterbacking the fucking power play. He was the guy that's supposed to be blasting at every fucking chance he could. Sixth. For shots, 4 percentage, under 50%, ranks seventh. And then expected goals for, 46.76%.
Ninth. Yeah, he's been getting killed out there for most of the entire year.
Just about dead last of 10 D-men. I don't know.
It's weird.
Like you said, it's not only his on ice, it's like his edge, like you said, right? Maybe he needs another Battle of Alberta. Some guy said he's been absolutely inconsistent here and there, but he's not had any consistency on ice for him. Let the team build him up next year. He'll ease back into his top pairing role in due time. Just needs a consistent D partner.
Yeah, I think that's true. Like, he's kind of played, I haven't liked him and Uyghur together. I think that's not a great pairing. And I mean, him and Hanifin did complement each other very well. So him being gone is kind of a big deal for sure. He played his best hockey with Hanifin. But yeah, I'm not sure. Like, I think the team really needs to figure out a way to get him to the level he needs to be, not only on the ice, but as a leader on the team. Because what do you do? Just be like, "Hey, like, we're shipping you out." Like, Rasmus Anderson is a huge part of this team, and he's wears a letter now, and he's part of the leadership group. And, you know, I wouldn't be as concerned with his really poor performance this year if it wasn't kind of like a downward trajectory. Like, I don't think he was great last year either. He was pretty good, but you want this to be, you know, he's supposed to be evolving. Like, it's kind of with Mangiapane too. It's like they're going backwards in their trajectory right now. Like, this is supposed to be your, like, you know, supposed to be going up right now, not down.
Speaking of down, let's pop in our weekly Oilers bashing here.
Oh, sure.
We got absolutely crushed by the Leafs. It was a 5-0 at one point.
Yeah, and it's beautiful.
It's just beautiful. Hyman's got 50 goals now, eh?
Yeah, they're all guard. They're pretty. And you could have, yeah, whatever. I mean, good for him. Good for him. I could score 20 playing with Connor, though. Like, these goals, like, did you see his 50th? So they showed, like, they're mic'd up for it before, and Connor's just, like, skates up to him, like, before the face-off. He's like, "What do you want to do?" And then Connor, like, whispers something to him. He's like, "Okay." Wins the face-off, goes to the net, wide-open net, tap in.
Just go to the net with your stick, and you're going to score at least 20.
Yeah.
Connor. Do you see Kane and Drysdale arguing on the bench?
Hey, well, you have a great teammate like Evander Kane.
Hard not to argue, eh?
What do you think they're arguing about?
I just can playoffs
size their, start. Size their PPs.
Can playoffs start so we can get this over with? The annual zoom in on Connor McNickbeard's face when the Oilers are eliminated. This is all I'm living for currently. I even wrote a song today.
Yeah, well,
I wrote a song today. I gotta practice a bit on it, but we're gonna pop it in here. It's all about McNeckbeard. I think it might just be called McNeckbeard.
I think Dirty Neckbeard, Dirty McNeckbeard, maybe McNeckbeard, Ode to McNeckbeard, or just McNeckbeard. Yeah, I think just any of those works.
Yeah. Just be warned, folks. This is the first. I just started learning the guitar at Christmas time, so I don't claim to be good. This is for your entertainment purposes only.
Connor McDavid's so ugly. He's got the world's greasiest neck beard. He's not even that good at hockey. He was beaten with the ugly stick. Yeah, he was beaten with the ugly stick. Ron McLean wishes he was him. Ron McLean wants to have sex with him. Connor McDavid, I hate you. I really fucking hate you. Yeah, I really fucking hate you.
That's gonna be, we should get that played up on, like, remember when Kachuk, they had the billboards where it was like the friendship tour? We need to get this on. So here's what we're gonna do. I do happen to play guitar and have been playing for a while. And so we're gonna record, we're gonna figure out a way to like produce this song.
We need a fucking studio for this shit. Yeah, let's create a record. Let's do it.
We're going to do a whole, we're definitely starting with this song. It's going to be, just wait a few months. We're going to get it on Edmonton radio. As soon as they're eliminated. Here's what we're going to do. We got to have the non-demo version ready for when they get eliminated and just start sending it out everywhere.
Deal. Well, we can elaborate too. There, I mean, there's no bridge in there. There's nothing.
Oh, it's, yeah, just, we can get a bridge. We can get, yeah.
That's a demo riff, folks. A demo riff. Okay, what were we talking about? The WHL is, you said they're wrapped up. Teej did not score 50.
He got 48. To 47.
47. He's climbing the power rankings for draft rankings.
Oh yeah, he's shot right up there.
What, do you know where he's at currently? I guess it depends on whose list you're looking at.
Yeah, it usually does. But he's definitely made his way, I think, into most lists, like top 15, probably.
Love it. Where are you? Do we still?
If you're drafting top 10, it feels like you're probably. Here's how I would hope it would play out, that you can get the best player with the Flames' own first round pick, and then maybe get Teej with the, I don't know if that's feasible with the Vancouver pick.
Which is what number? I guess we don't know yet.
We don't know yet. It'll be later, but
ideally, like, if they get bounced in the first round, it's higher.
Yeah, so, but I think there's a condition, like, if Vancouver gets bounced, it depends on that. We kind of want, do we want Vancouver to do well? Because there's that trip pick in the Lindholm. There's the conditional third in the Lindholm trade.
Well, either way, I think I might prefer the higher first. No?
Yeah, me too. And you want Dallas and Vegas to go far into the playoffs for the conditions, yes, on those picks. I think the Athletics today, Corey Pronman has Teej at 15 now. So, okay. Or Scott Wheeler, pardon me, not Corey. But he's working his way up there. I think, what does the NHL have him at? Take a look. North American skaters, he's 11th among North American right now. So, he's worked his way up there. I don't know. We'll see. Like, it'd be cool. I think it'd be really cool to see him, but you don't want to take him if there's like, or do you want to take him if there's somebody really good on the board in the top 10? Fuck, man.
If you're picking five spots, I don't know, man. Two or three.
If you're picking top 10, then it's probably questionable. But if you're picking in the like 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 range, then seems to make more sense.
Still waiting for that last minute heater to go on.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll win like in April, like who do we play in April? Do we play a bunch of good teams or a bunch of bad teams? That'll
hopefully bad teams.
We play, yeah, we mostly play like we have San Jose in there, Arizona in there, the Ducks in there. I'm sure they'll win like all of them and get back to within like 16th. Get out of the top sure.
They're not beating the bad teams, bro.
Yeah. Fall right out of the top 10.
If I had to pick someone today, I would say Dallas comes out of the West.
I don't know, man. Colorado looks pretty good.
Fuck, they are starting to turn it up, aren't they?
Yeah.
MacKinnon is just fun to watch.
That was a great game. They come back from four out out of Pittsburgh, beat him in overtime. Oh. Colorado looks like, and I mean, like, you don't want to. I'm kind of worried, like you said, Connor's saving it for the playoffs, but Colorado still looks like a wagon. Edmonton's still not good enough defensively, and their goaltending is going to bite them. I think that's what's going to happen.
If the playoffs started today, Edmonton would have home ice and play LA. LA's been playing better. Does LA have a shot in hell to beat the Oilers in the first round? I think they do.
I think they do.
Probably come down to goaltending, but.
Yeah, I mean, Rittich. Here's my dream, dude. Rittich plays for the Kings in net in round one. He beats the Oilers and does a stick flip. That's my dream.
And then they get fucking swept afterwards because that's probably what would happen.
Yeah, he does this like they like win in overtime or something, and Dave, or at any point in the elimination of the Oilers celebration, Dave does a stick flip. That's my dream right there. Yeah, I think LA's been playing some pretty good hockey, so I think it's goaltending is what it's going to come down to.
The Caps are making a fucking last minute push
with like record breaking bad stats somehow.
Yeah, there's still like minus 27 goal differential.
That's insane.
Literally the only team in the playoff picture across the league.
Just their on ice stats. Money puck, 5-on-5, expected goals for. Like Washington is, where's Washington? Where are you, Ovi? You're so bad. I know shot attempt, like Corsi-wise, they're definitely bottom. Washington is 26th shot attempts percentage at 5-on-5 by Money Puck's model. Expected goals for, they're also 20, they're 25th. Their goal differential at 5-on-5 is fourth worst in the league. The only teams who have a worse goal differential in the league at 5-on-5 than Washington are Anaheim, Chicago, and San Jose.
Crazy.
Don't show that to the Flames ownership. They'll be like, see, we can get in.
I feel like they probably fizzle out. Detroit gets in. The Preds are rolling. I don't know. Let's just start playoffs and get this over with. I just want to cheer against the Oilers passionately. Anything else to bring us home here?
One thing just on Hunter Perstevich, who continues to impress people. Kitchener wrapped up their season yesterday. Perstevich gets up to 92 points.
Oh, shit.
He had two assists. So that tied the single season franchise mark for points by a defenseman in Kitchener Rangers history.
Nice.
And the record was set in 1994. So that's pretty awesome. And they
Does he crack the lineup next year?
Anything's possible, but I imagine he's playing with the range or the Wranglers most of the year, or at least to start the year, first pro year. I think you probably see maybe a few other guys get a shot before him. I mean, he hasn't played a pro game yet, so.
All right, man. Well, the writing's on the wall. We know we're not going to be trying to do anything.
I can't wait for the draft. I'm just like, get me to the Oilers losing and get me to the draft. All right, thanks for listening, guys. We'll be back on Sunday or Monday with a new episode. Thanks so much for listening. If you missed it, we were on today's episode of Barn Burner with Pinder, Boomer, and Rhett. So go check that out if you want to see our beautiful faces shitting our pants over talking to some of our heroes. Anyways, peace out, guys. Have a good one.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.